Now I cannot recall how it actually happened, but it wasn't by some grand decree. It's like trying to explain why nobody saw it once everyone started to see that the world was much smaller than ever before. And over there wasn't so far anymore. What we did unto others washed up on our shore. The answer was hard to ignore. The end of war.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Peace Talk. Peace Talk is part of a series on KTOO called Focus on Community. Peace Talk is sponsored by Veterans for Peace, Chapter 100 here in Juneau, and is a monthly program to help the public and to reinforce our own gain commitment to the imperative of peace in our times. One way that we have approached the idea of peace, and this is not just Veterans for Peace, but also more particularly, Juneau People for Peace and Justice, is that we try to open young people's minds and hearts to the fact that our world is made of many compositions of faith and geography and race. And as part of the effort to soothe tensions and to increase international understanding and create personal relationships, JPPJ, that's Juneau People for Peace and Justice, together with sort of indirect involvement of Veterans for Peace, have for the past several years been sponsoring students from mostly Muslim countries in an exchange program. And these students have come probably three or four a year from the Middle East countries and have stayed in Haines and in Juneau, and I believe in Sitka. And no, I best not in Sitka. But anyway, it's a great experience for the students. And to discuss all of this, Rich Moniak, who was a sponsor himself, has interviewed some of the former students who have been in the program in the past. At this point, we're very pleased to have with us Judith Meyer, who has sort of been the spring in the step of the YES program, Youth Exchange. And I'd like to ask Judith a few questions. How long have we been doing this here?
This is our fourth year of bringing students.
Fourth year. And explain the program to me. What are the criteria? How do the kids get selected? And so forth. I'll give it to you.
This program is called YES, Youth Exchange and Study. And it's the best thing I buy with my taxes. And the idea is to bring young people from the Muslim world to America for the experience to learn and share and take home ideas and help us all. We got involved with this program and knew that it's something we wanted in our community. And so since then, the first year, we had four kids here. Nadine, who came from Bethlehem in Palestine. Bertram, who came from eastern Turkey. Yasin, who came from Kuwait. And Omar, who came from Egypt. The second year, we had three kids here. Mohammed, who lived in Israel. Hattie, who came from Lebanon. And Aya, from Gaza. The third year, we had Maha from Yemen. She smiled all the time, and everybody got to know her. We had Abdullah from Bahrain, Haitham, who was from Gaza, but he spent his year in Haines. These kids were a part of our community, so you might know those names. Your young people might have met them at school. This year, we have three young people here, Christina Abu-Jazar, from Palestine, Mohammed Samour from Egypt, Hassan Bazil from Pakistan. And in my mind, these kids are really brave, and they're determined. They're very intelligent. In order to be selected, they are a part of a contingent of 35,000 kids who apply, and the State Department selects 700. And they end up teaching about their own life. They meet the kids here. They affect their peers, their host families, and the entire community. And I remember that the first year, both boys, Omar and Yas, decided to be in the talent show at their school. And Omar rapped in Arabic at the microphone, and he showed a video clip of Tahrir Square. And sometimes he was really humble. And he said, this wasn't about me. This was about my basketball buddies. They always cheer me on. I didn't know how to play basketball, and they cheered me on. And they came down the aisle and drummed on the stage. And then he said, those were the popular boys, so all the girls came too. So the whole student body was drumming on the stage. And they said to me, did you hear who took first and second? And I said, no. He said, we did. So from then on, they were heroes. And yet, they're normal kids, and they're here because there are people in this community who will open their homes and make these kids a part of their life, a part of their families. And these kids bring a wonderful world to me. I remember Yas at our departure retreat out at Methodist Camp, and what he said was, I will never leave my God, I will never leave my faith, and I will leave the Muslim world as soon as I can. I was raised with a closed mind, and now I have an open mind. And I never again want to live with a closed mind.
That's very nice. We had a student last year. I think his name is Haitham. And he left a gift to the state of Alaska. And I wonder, could you enlighten us on that little event?
Well, Haitham is a very good... He's very good at a lot of things. He digs good ditches, and he likes to do heavy work, and he also likes origami. And he made a 2,000-piece peacock for his school in Haines. And then the art teacher here said that she would like to learn how to do that, and so he taught Heather Ridgway's students in the art club how to fold the pieces for the piece peacock. And then when he was in town for 24 hours, he worked with those students assembling the peace peacock. And it was given to the legislature. The peace peacock did not get put in a case promptly, and he has fallen apart. But we will do our best to Skype with Haitham and see if some of the people who are interested in reassembling the peace peacock can learn how to do it.
I think that sounds great. And just for your information, I don't know if you knew this, but Veterans for Peace has agreed to fund the cost of a case. And Al Tingley has agreed to have his students in Woodshop construct this thing. And I presume when that happens, we get the thing pieced back together, we'll have a little ceremony up there. And so anyway, I thought I'd mention that. Well, moving on, we have... Rich Moniak has selected three former students and has interviewed them all. And I wonder now if you could introduce them briefly.
Well, I'll just mention that the way we got involved with this is that when Rich Moniak was in Anchorage, he met two young people who were YES students in Anchorage, and was so impressed with them that we decided to bring them down to Juneau for their spring break, which did not coincide with Juneau's spring break, so it was great. They got into the school, so they made six presentations. We had Farah from Egypt and Aboud, who was here from Gaza. So Aboud is the person that Rich is going to interview, and he got us. They got us going on this whole program, and Abood was in Anchorage and went back to finish school in Gaza and went to medical school in South Sudan.
And that's where he is now? That's amazing. Okay, this is Rich Moniak interviewing Abood Barut.
Hello, Abood, and welcome to Peace Talk. This is a program on Juno Public Radio.
Hey, hello to you too, Rich. I hope you're doing well. And hello to all the people who are listening to us right now. I hope you're all having a good day. Thank you for having me here.
So I understand you're going to school in the Sudan. Why don't you tell us what you're studying there and what it's like?
Yes, Rich. As you mentioned, I'm currently a third-year medical student studying in Sudan, Shandin City to be specific, which is located approximately 75 miles north of the capital, Khartoum. It's actually a small town, a very good place for a medical student to live in. Very quiet, not affected by any political issues like the conflict in South Sudan. And the people here are really nice. I first came here and attended Chandi University in October 2012. Since then, my studies and everything else are going well, and I hope it remains that way.
Well, and what are your goals after college? Do you plan on returning to Gaza? Do you have hopes to live somewhere else?
Well, for now, I'm trying to concentrate on my studies here, seeking to graduate with the best qualifications I could get out of it. But I want to proceed my studies right after that somewhere else. I haven't really decided where. But I'm hoping that Europe could be a choice for me, maybe. And eventually, I'm going to return back home to Gaza after I'm done, hoping to be a helpful member to my community and to my people.
Well, when was the last time you went home?
Last time I've been to Gaza was about 2 years ago, during the summer of 2013. And I've stayed there for 3 weeks only, due to the borders issues and how hard and complicated it is to travel in and out of Gaza.
Well, then you weren't home in 2014, in the summer of 2014, during the Israeli attack on Gaza. What was it like being away from your family during all that time? Were you in touch with them? Just tell us a little bit about that.
I would say that it was the worst period of my entire life. I'm not sure if I can describe what I went through. It was a really tough time for me, being away from home, family, and friends, knowing that they could be harmed at any second. During that time, I was doing my finals here in Sudan, and I couldn't concentrate on anything. I was watching the news all the time, and most of the time, I couldn't get in touch with my family. There was no network there, no electricity, nothing. So I would contact my friends in the West Bank, you know, because they have a better chance to reach them through the phone than I have here from Sudan. Fortunately, at the end, my family were okay. They were not harmed. But I have a friend. Her name is Iman. She's currently studying at North Carolina College right now. And also, she participated in the S program in the same year with me. Unfortunately, she lost five of her family members, including her both parents, actually. I cannot imagine how she went through this. Also, not to mention that another 2,147 people were murdered, and 81% of them were civilians. And approximately also over than 10,000 others were injured. And that only was during the last aggression in Gaza, you know, in the summer of 2014. So that's what I was going through. I cannot imagine what the people there went through or how they're handling it. And all of this, I guess, because their fault was their Palestinians.
Well, we were pretty upset with that news. We followed it quite a bit. We were worried about you. We were worried about the other students who have been here that came from Gaza. We felt we could do very little to help, of course, being so far away and being Americans and the weapons that Israel was using largely came from America. So we felt very, very troubled by all that. But let's go back to a little bit brighter time. 2010 and 11, you were in Alaska. What do you remember most about the time you were here?
What I remember most, actually, is every single second of it, because it was my best year so far, with all of its joyful experiences, emotional moments, living with great, amazing people who hosted me for a whole year and accepted me for the person who I am. I give all my appreciation and all my love to them, and I still keep in touch with them, actually, and I still keep in touch with my friends, too. I had a lot of friends, actually. They were extremely nice to me. They were always interested in knowing my culture. And I always get asked questions like, do you eat food? Or do you live in a house? And stuff like that. So, yeah, it was really fun spending time with them. I would love to see them again. That's why I'm trying to apply for a visa nowadays. And I hope it works out well for me, because a visit back to the United States would mean my life to me, actually.
And what about your friends in Gaza when you returned home from the United States? How did they respond to your time here and the stories you told?
Well, it actually depends on the type of the person. You know, like, for example, my closest friends already knew most of the details because I kept them updated on how my life was going during my year in Alaska. And others who watch a lot of movies would ask me a lot of specific details, like, for example, about high school and stuff like, does this and that really happen there? And I actually enjoy a lot talking about it because it brings up all the great memories I experienced there. And others would go totally crazy, like, oh my God, it's so cool, tell me everything about it. But most of them, it's the funny thing, actually, most of them would freak out when I talk about the weather. Because, you know, over there, 50 Fahrenheit would be the coldest it would get. But at the end, you know, all of them are really interested to hear all about it.
Well, with all that's happened since you left, have your views of the American people changed in the 3-4 years since you studied here?
All the people I've got the chance to meet in the United States and still are great, the great, amazing, supportive people that anyone actually wishes to have in their life, and this will never change for me.
Well, do you think being in the S program is still having a big impact on your life and the things you hope to do with your life?
Well, there are actually no words to describe how this year have changed my life. I have changed my thoughts, my point of views, for the better, of course, and I cannot imagine how my life would have turned out if I haven't participated in the youth and the exchange study program, and I owe actually everything to this year and to all the people who were in it.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners here?
Yes, actually, if you allow me, I would like to point out about a very important thing that has a huge impact on us all, which is the media. Knowing that the media doesn't always tell us both sides of stories, and sometimes it doesn't even show the truth, so we should not judge a whole community based on some person's doings or actions. And at the end, I want to thank everyone who managed to have me here. And, of course, a special thank to you, Rich Moniak, and to all the great people like you who are helping people like us to send their message to the world. And I hope to see you again one day. My love to you all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us from halfway around the world. We really appreciate it. It's good to hear that you're doing well, and we wish you the best. Take care. You've been listening to Abood Barood from Gaza speak about his time in the United States studying in the YES program in Anchorage, Alaska, and now he is in the Sudan in a medical program where he's studying to become a doctor, hopefully, and return to Gaza.
The second student that was interviewed for this program is Yasun Jaber, also known as Yaz, And Judith, what can you tell us about him?
Well, I've already mentioned that he had lots of thoughts about what this whole experience was and lots of talents, but mostly he opened a lot of minds in this country.
Well, we're looking forward to the interview.
Welcome, Yazan. Welcome back to Juneau, sort of. You're going to be on the air.
I've ever since you asked that of me, I've really been excited about it because, I don't know, I still have, like, a lot of love for Juneau. I mean, it's still in my heart all the time, and I always dream about going back there. So, I mean, having some people there who already know me, like, knowing that they might, like, even hear me out, just is great. I'm really, really happy for that.
I understand you're going to college in Manitoba, Canada, correct?
Yes, I am. That is correct.
And what are you studying there, and when did you begin?
I began in September of 2013. I'm attending the International College of Manitoba. I finished high school there. I had a semester to finish high school, and I'm trying to go into engineering.
Wow. What particular discipline of engineering?
When I first came to Canada, I thought that I had a lot of options. So I did prioritize, like, I did have petroleum as to be, like, one of the first options. But it didn't work out very well because petroleum engineering in Canada is not taught everywhere, you can say. In Manitoba, it is not taught. So I had to change into mechanical, into my second option.
So and why Manitoba? You said you finished high school there. What brought you? What made you aware that you could finish high school in Manitoba and go to college there?
Well, honestly, after I returned from Juneau, I spent a year in Kuwait, and apparently, a year in my high school in Kuwait wasn't enough. They needed a year and a half, and so I finished a year, and I was so eager to go back to, like, North America, to, like, a part of North America, so I could, like, return, you know, to Juneau and, like, you know, just keep on growing there. So I looked into, like, colleges that would, like, accept me, and Manitoba was one of the only colleges that offered for me to finish high school and then start over from where they're at.
So, and you say obviously you didn't finish high school in Kuwait, yet you needed a year and a half. Did the program in Juneau cause that delay?
Honestly, I have been in two kinds of different systems in schools. I have been in a British system in Kuwait, and then I came to Juneau, which was a transition from British to American. So everything just got a little bit mixed up in the middle, and so not all of my courses would get transferred equally.
So how do you like the upper plains of Canada? I mean, Manitoba is flat and very few trees, no mountains, obviously, no ocean. Very
yeah,
different
is.
Than Juneau. How do you like it compared to Juneau?
One thing I do have to say about Manitoba compared to Juneau is that it is way colder than it is in Juneau. Like, Manitoba is super cold. I have never experienced negative 53 degrees Celsius in my life, not even in Juneau, I believe. It's one of the coldest places I've been. Snow definitely reminds me of Juneau. It's snowing, like, throughout most of the year.
But you skied when you were in Juneau. I don't think you can go skiing there, can you? Oh, you couldn't ski because you had a broken leg.
That is true. Yeah, I did break my leg, actually, in November 2011.
Yeah, we all remember that, except I forgot just a moment ago.
It's okay. So I'd like to forget that, too, sometimes.
So how long will you be studying in Manitoba? Is it a four-year program?
It is a four-year program, but it depends on how I spend my summers, because if I decide not to take summer courses, then it is a five-year program, but with summer every year, then it should be a four-year program.
And obviously your parents are supporting you studying over here rather than back in Kuwait.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, they're the best supporters. They always have my back, and I really appreciate that they've given me the opportunity to study abroad in Juneau and in Manitoba. So, I'm grateful to have their support.
So, and when was the last time you were home to visit?
Last time I was home was in August of 2014. I spent 2 weeks there, and I came back in September, and I'm here.
And everything seems to be pretty much unchanged there, both after you returned from Juneau and during that summer visit?
Honestly, not a lot has changed. I mean, not a lot. I mean, except for, like, you know, Kuwait building new things like malls and, like, buildings and everything and trying to, you know, just, like, evolve as a country. Like, they've done that definitely throughout a whole year. You can notice a change, I would say that.
And are the people in Kuwait very aware of what's going on in Iraq and Syria with ISIS right now?
They are very aware, actually. They're very concerned, and they are against ISIS. They're taking the necessary precautions, and I think everyone's aware, and they know that ISIS are not, you know, the guys to stand behind, definitely.
I'm certain I know the answer to this question. In your mind, do they represent the Muslim faith?
No, not in any way.
Coming back to your time in Alaska, what do you miss the most about having been in Juneau?
I definitely miss how simple it was getting from one place to another. I've never noticed how calmer and pleasant life can be when you're away from the cities and, like, the noise and the crowd, and I definitely missed that part the most.
We mentioned you had a broken leg, so you didn't get out to do as many things. Are there things you missed that you would like to come back and experience?
One thing I'd like to experience is skiing. I'd love to go to Eagle Crest. I would love to.
When you were here in Alaska, you were involved in activities. Why don't you explain some of the activities that you were that you did at Thunder Mountain High School?
Well, first of all, I just want to point out that I really missed Thunder Mountain High School. I mean, I miss that. Second of all, once I've arrived to Juneau, high school was so much different. The activities they've offered were great, and I wanted to join every single one if possible. But the ones that I got, like, in touch with were cross-country, theater, and soccer, the beginning of soccer.
And you did a talent show. You won second prize on a talent show. You didn't mention that.
The talent show at the school, it was probably the bravest thing I've ever done in my life, because I've never actually, like, stood up in front of a big crowd and spoke to them and tried to communicate with them. And I've never really had any experience with, like, doing stand-up comedy.
So what did you do on stage?
Basically, I just came out and threw a couple of jokes here and there about, like, you know, the airports and the Arab countries and how they are. Like, as an Arab and as someone who goes to, like, social media a lot, I see a lot of, like, people who get stopped a lot often and get asked questions and everything and whatnot. And I mean, I'm just trying to find a humorful way to, like, display it. I think that took a lot of bravery from me, to be honest, because usually, typically, it's not something to speak of. But I think when you do, like, put a light on it, but in a humorful way, it just came out, like, really well. I'm glad of how it came out.
So, do you still keep in touch with friends from Juneau?
Yes, I do. I do have all of my friends on Facebook, all of my friends on Instagram, and all of my friends on all different accounts. We do speak every now and then. I do have some friends that I speak to or with, like, on a regular basis, you could say that.
Anybody ever talked about coming out to visit you?
Well, I have talked to a couple of friends about, like, probably meeting up sometime, but, like, I really don't feel like it's right for anyone to come up to me, but I do want to go up to all the people back in Juneau. So, I mean, I think that's the best way I could see everyone at once, you know, like, kill a million birds, you know, with, like, one stone.
Let me ask you this. So in Canada, have you had any difficulties being a Muslim from the Middle East? compared to when you first arrived in the United States?
I mean, I really can't compare it because Juneau, like, has a really small population of Muslims, I would say. And compared to Manitoba, there are a couple of mosques around here. There's a mosque in the university. Like, most of the students are Muslims. I felt like there was more like of a Islamic touch in Manitoba than I did in Juneau. But I mean, that's something that I should have completely expected, because Juneau is I don't even know the population of Muslims in Juneau. I mean, I don't even know about that.
So when you returned to Kuwait, how did your friends back there respond to your experiences and time in the United States?
They were very supportive of it. They all wanted to know what I was up to there. I have a friend in Kuwait, and he had heard about me going there, and we kept on talking, and I think he got him interested. He applied to the YES program and got admitted, and he went to a state in Ohio. So that was really nice. I enjoyed that very much.
Did visiting the United States change your views on the United States? And when you returned, what happened to those views?
Ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to go to America. I could not believe when I got accepted. I've always wanted to go there. I watch a lot of Hollywood movies, and so it's definitely not like the movies, I can assure that. But, I mean, it is definitely eye-opening to see, like, students exactly just like me. And I'm just like them. Like, we're all the same, and we do the same exact things. You know, we live the same life.
Do you think having been in the YES program is still having an impact on your life and on your dreams for your future?
Yes, it has, honestly. It's changed my life. All I can tell you, Rich, is that I would not be where I am right now, and I would not be doing any of this right now if it wasn't for the opportunity.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners?
I just want to give a shout-out to the Ringles, the people who hosted me there for a year. I want to give a shout-out to Wayne Bundy. Really miss him. I miss Thunder Mountain High School, and I miss Judith, and I miss you too, Rich. And hopefully one day I will come back and I will get to see all of you guys.
Well, you know, Wayne is hosting again for the third time.
I've heard about that, and I do have his hosts on Facebook.
And Ringles are hosting again too this year. They're hosting A Boy from Pakistan this year.
Oh, yeah. I also have him on Facebook, too.
Yeah, so you knew all the. I figured you knew all these things if you're keeping in touch with people.
Yeah, I always see them on my timeline on Facebook, always interactive, always doing things, and it's amazing. It's great.
So the YES program also offers American students to study abroad in countries with significant Muslim populations. Would you recommend a student come to Kuwait if they could?
I definitely would. I would recommend a student to go anywhere in the world, because the only way you can truly learn about something, I think, is if you actually experience it yourself. And so I think someone coming to Kuwait could actually, like, take a lot about Arabs and learn about them, culture, tradition, and lifestyle.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate talking to you. I mean, not just for the show, but just the chance to reconnect. I'm glad you were willing to do this.
Same here.
I wish you the best with your studies.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it, honestly. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I really cannot emphasize enough on how much I miss you guys and how much I want to be back.
And I hope you get a chance to come back and visit. We'd all love to see you.
And I'd love to see you too. And you can take my word for it. I am working on coming back because I am about to apply for an American visa soon sometime. And so if that happens, hopefully I can apply and someday fly to Juneau. Who knows?
Okay. Well, we look forward to seeing you. We'll have a party.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
I hope so.
Well, you take care and keep in touch.
Will do, will do. Thank you very much, Rich. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Yazan Jabbar, who was in Juneau in the school year of 2011-2012 as part of the YES Exchange Program.
Just a reminder to everybody, you're listening to KTOO FM here in Juneau, and this is Peace Talk, featuring interviews with young students from Arab lands who have spent time in Juneau. And now let's take a little break from the program. We can all gather our wits. And I'd like to play some Turkish music in keeping with the topics.
Beni onlara verme, külüm ölüm al, uzak yollara savur. Dalsın dağlara, dalsın bu sevdam, ama sen ağlama dur. Beni vur, beni onlara verme, gülümü al, uzak yollara savur. Dalsın dağlara, dalsın bu öykümüz, ama sen ağlama dur.
And the third student who was interviewed for these little programs was Bersim Aaron. Correct me on that. That close? Bersim Aaron, who was also interviewed by Rich Moniak recently. And Judith, tell us about this young person.
Well, Bersim Aaron is here from Turkey. And she was an exchange student the first year, and she's back in Juneau. She's visiting Rich Moniak, who was her host father, and Bersim is now working for AFS from Turkey and was sent to New York for work and decided that coming back to Juneau for a visit was really important to her.
I'm in the K2 studio with Bersim Aaron on a Sunday evening right after a nice hike on the West Glacier Trail. Welcome to K2, Bersim.
Thank you.
And thanks for taking the time for this interview.
Of course. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's so great to have you back for a visit. And for me, it's really special because I was your host dad. You know, I feel like I'm asking my own daughter questions that I know the answers to, except I want to share them with the audience that's listening to this program. And that's a little bit different than having a conversation at home. And one of the things that we did for the program is I asked you to select a song that you like from home.
The song is one of my favorite musicians in Turkey, who we lost, sadly, 15 years ago. And I really love his music, his songs, and anything about him. And he has his songs about the political issues in time where he lived in Turkey and when he got life threats because he wanted to make a music in his own language, in his first language, which is Kurdish, just like mine. And that was the time when Turkey wasn't open enough for these kind of ideas. And that's why his life was threatened by some people, and he had to run away from country. He died in France. But still, he's an important musician in Turkey, and now everybody appreciates what he's done.
What is he singing about?
It is a protest song and a love song in the same time. It's actually telling about situations of people like him.
I remember the day you left 3 years ago, and it was really sad, and I wondered right away what it would be like to return home after living in Juneau for 10 months. Did it feel different than you remembered?
Actually, the place was exactly the same as I left, I mean, except the little changes. But the way I see it was really different. It was crowded, it was hot. There were a lot of noise that I didn't have in Juneau. It was hard for me to adjust. It was my home, the place I left for just 10 months, 11 months. But I've been changed while I was in here. So the place seemed really different for me, even though it wasn't.
What were you most happy about to have back in your life when you got home?
Of course, the food. The food, definitely.
The food was much better at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that?
Because back in home, we have a huge food culture that is bigger than the food culture in here. We don't have fast food as much as United States. And we have this huge cooking culture that every day the kitchen is full of people. My mom cooks every day. We have lunch, dinner, breakfast. Nobody just grabs a sandwich and goes. So you actually do have time with your family while eating your dinner. For you can sit on the breakfast table for hours, and it's a very normal thing for us. Nobody eats cereal.
And the cereals was something you just had for the first time when you got here.
Yep, that's
yeah.
true.
And you got used to it a little bit because it was easy in the morning when you were having to go to school and take care of yourself.
It fits the culture in here. I mean, everything is balanced with the culture in the place. You can grab a sandwich in here and it's very normal because you don't have time for anything else. You don't have time to cook a dinner and stay at home. But we have that time, and it's because of our culture, we make time for it.
So you came back to Turkey after living in a different culture, and you must have told your family and friends different stories about the culture, different stories about the temperature and the weather, which you said just hinted to was different, getting used to the hot weather, coming from a cold climate.
Mm-hmm.
How did people react to your stories?
Well, they asked me weird questions such as, would you live in an igloo? Would you have snow all the time? And they were normal because nobody knew anything about Alaska, just like I didn't know anything at all before getting here. It was a huge thing that I went from southeast part of Turkey to all the way to Alaska and could manage to live in here. I actually survived in the weather of Juneau. And it was a huge thing for the people. People were impressed by me being away from my home for 11 months and doing this exchange program because it seems so hard for the people who doesn't know anything about the program. And it's actually hard. It was hard in the beginning and the last part, which was leaving the place I really loved. And people would ask questions about the culture in the United States, Alaska's weather, the place I lived in, and people got to know more about Alaska and the United States because I've been here, and I could tell them what it was like.
So now you've finished high school and you've moved on to college.
I'm studying in Yıldız Technical University in Istanbul, and my major is electrical engineering.
And what do you hope to do with that?
Well, part of our program in our engineering school is to do internships, one in our sophomore year and one in our junior year. And my short-term goal is to do one of these internships in the United States, or hopefully both of them.
Are there any particular places? Is Juneau a possibility? If you had an intern opportunity in Juneau, would you come back?
If anybody calls the radio and says, I want her to be my intern, then I can. But I'm now looking for mostly in Seattle or Colorado would be great too.
And those are two places you've been.
Those are the places I've been and I really liked.
In the long run, do you hope to stay in Turkey? Do you have ambitions to maybe live in another country when you get a degree?
Well, it's hard to say from now because I'm just a freshman in college and I don't know what life has for me. And I might want to go to Europe or maybe come back to the United States. I really don't know what's happened. But I want to work on alternative energy systems and I know I can have more opportunities outside of Turkey.
So now it's been 3 years since you were here in Juneau in the exchange program. How do you think the program affected you?
When I got accepted in the YES program, I thought the experience I would have would help me be about my future. But I was an exchange student and you were a host father. And now I realize YES program isn't about me. YES program isn't about you. This program is something bigger than you and me. It's about all future generations finding ways to live together. And that's why I became active in AFS Turkey as a volunteer of the program.
And you're still involved, and that's why you went to Washington, D.C.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm volunteering for AFS Turkey. I attended all of the orientation camps. I try to be active and involved as much as I can. This is for me, this is the way of me paying back what I've got from the YES program.
And most recently, you were in Washington, D.C. in a workshop, which is what gave you the opportunity to come back to Juneau. What went on in Washington, D.C.?
I was in D.C. for a workshop that was about making a change in your home community, because we learned how to find a fund. We learned how to combine our passions and the problems we see in our community and try to make a change about it, try to make a project and change the community you live in.
And you visited Senator Murkowski's office while you were there.
We met at a staff who was well prepared about the program, who had really good questions for us that we weren't expecting. We were expecting to explain the program and then our years and what aspects it has on us and our community and Juneau community, actually. And we talked about what the YES program does to the community in Alaska, the community that I'm going back to, or to the exchange students. And they were well aware that exchange programs build bridges between countries, between people who has no idea about each other.
Well, and that's what this program obviously is about. It's why we do it, and we're building a bridge. And I've got a bridge to Turkey. I just need to get on a plane to get there.
You definitely do.
Yes, I do. So what do you remember the most about living in Juneau when you were here 3 years ago?
Rain, of course. I remember rain a lot. And all the things, all the effects that rain has on people. Everybody wears the same shoes, extra toughs. I wear them back in Turkey, which people don't understand.
You didn't like them when you first got here, did you?
I hated them. I didn't understand why everybody would wear the same shoes. And then I realized it's the best shoes that fits Juneau's weather. And they're actually practical. You don't have to be fashionable under rain. And I was so surprised that when I saw nobody would use umbrellas under rain. And then I realized you can't bring umbrellas every day to every place you go because it always rains.
And you're still in touch with friends here, obviously. You have had a week where you visited some friends.
Yep, that's what program does. You build relationships with people. I have friends from Thunder Mountain High School that I met while I was here in my junior year, and we are still in touch.
What do you miss the most?
What do I miss the most in Juneau?
That, obviously not the rain, but you must miss something because you're back here and you're happy to be back.
I actually miss the rain too, because the city I went back to is that has more dry weather than Juneau. My hometown is right next to Tigris River, but it's not as humid as Juneau, or it doesn't get as much as rain. I miss the water. I miss the glacier. I really missed everything about Juneau's nature. I really love being near the water and being so close to all the hiking places that you can just walk and see all the amazing nature. I knew that I was going to miss this place. I knew that I was going to miss the people. You remember I said, I'm going to miss this city in a horrible weather of Juneau.
Yeah, and
it was horribly raining.
Yeah, I'll share that story. We were driving downtown in January after a couple of days of snow. It was pouring down rain, and we were stopped at the light near Lemon Creek. And Bertram looked up and saw the light blinking at the KINY tower, and she said, what is that light over there blinking? And I said, it's the radio tower. I says, we've been here before, you remember that. And she said, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then just out of the blue on this worst night of the winter, she said, I'm really going to miss Juno when I'm gone. And I was like amazed, absolutely amazed. It's one of my best memories when you were here.
That's the best memory?
One of my best memories, yes. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us tonight?
I want to thank you and Susan Cable for having me in my exchange year, making it possible for me to be in Juneau for 11 months and helping me have a great experience in Juneau. It wouldn't be possible if you two didn't help me. And I thank a lot to Juneau people for peace and justice to get the program started in Juneau. And I think host families are a huge part that are very important in the program. They're the people who are making the students like me to be in United States to experience the culture and the language and build bridges between cultures.
Well, and I think I was the lucky one to have you in our home. It changed my life having you there. I think hosting a foreign exchange student has the potential to change everybody's life in a very, very positive way. I'm thrilled to have you back in Juneau, which is just a sign of how well the program can work in building friendships.
Thank you. That's why I think Juneau people should be more involved in the program and host more exchange students.
Well, thank you for coming in to the studio with me.
Thank you for having me here. It's actually good to be sharing how great the program was.
And you've just been listening to an interview with Bertram Aaron from Turkey, who is back in Juneau this week visiting after she attended Thunder Mountain High School from 2011-12 as a junior in the YES Exchange program.
And now, I guess before we pull the curtain on this production, I'd like to ask Judith if you have any last thoughts.
Well, I have one thought of gratitude to all the people who have hosted these students over the years. It would not happen without wonderful host families. And I can assure host families that they will always have help from those of us who are sponsoring the program, whether it's for a week or sometimes people are going to want another family to take a child for a month while they're traveling. We can work out those things and we'll always work with them, but host families are needed. And we want to have three or four students again next year. So I'll be happy to hear from you. Judith Meyer, 789-9229. Give me a buzz and your life will be a little different.
Okay. Thank you, Judith. That brings us to a close. You've been listening to Peace Talk this evening. We have had three guests who are from the YES program. We have the program coordinator, Judith Meyer, who has contributed to our understanding. And we have Rich Moniak, who has not only engineered the program, but is responsible for the interviews with the students. Until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you to our producers and our guests. Thank you to KTOO. And remember, everybody, wage peace.